Good evening. It's good to see everyone here. Grateful for your presence tonight. We ask the question tonight as we begin, why should a man pray? Sadly, many do not believe that God answers prayer. And because of that, not many people pray. The difference between a dead faith and a living faith is action. James chapter 2 and verse 18. It says, but someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works and I will show you my faith by my works. Action. When we see the need for something, we will act upon it, right? It's like with anything. We see the need of something, we're going to do something. If you don't see the need, then you're not going to do anything, right? And it's the same way with prayer. Jesus addressed this in his ministry. And I'd like to, as we begin tonight, let's think about Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Notice what Jesus says. Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor regarded man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, vindicate me against my adversary. Okay, some translations, instead of vindicate, some translations may say, protect me. Okay, she was seeking help, okay, from this man, from this judge. Vindicate me against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will vindicate her. Or she will wear me out by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God vindicate his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will vindicate them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? It's a great parable, isn't it? And Jesus is just telling us real plainly. I mean, and what's the neat thing about it is he tells you the meaning of the parable before he gives you the parable. Most of the other things, you read the parable, then you have to try to figure out what it is, right? Or go, you know, later on, maybe in the past. He tells us right up front. He told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Brethren, I'm gonna ask you tonight, do you pray to God with faith? Do you pray to God thinking he's gonna help you? Okay, he's going to vindicate you, okay? And it says right here that he will vindicate his elect speedily. God wants to help us. He wants to do things for us. He wants to vindicate or protect his children. Do we have faith? As we talked about for the last several weeks, we've talked about several important concepts when it comes to prayer. We've talked about, we kind of broke it down to four types, and there may be some other things we could throw in. This is definitely probably not an exhaustive list, but something to think about. We've talked about types of prayer and praise and thanksgiving, right? And we talked about confession, confessing our sins to God, confessing to one another. Okay, in that, we talked about last week that idea of petition in prayer. Right? And so tonight we want to continue on with the idea of intercession. You know, some may view God, as we talked about last week, as a great vending machine. Right? As a result, they only have prayers filled with petition. Right? Put in the money, pull it out, and you get something, right? You know, this is it. The great vending machine is God. We go to God when we need something, when we want something. But this reflects a wrong concept of God. Our motive in prayer must be for the accomplishment of God's will rather than a self-centered one. God wants us to make requests of Him. He wants us to go to Him in prayer. But brethren, we need to be careful that we are seeking God's will in the matter and not just what I want, right? It's not Chris's will when it comes to prayer. So when you think about intercession, and I realize this may be a little too small for you, and I apologize for that. Prayers of intercession. The word intercession itself, okay, just means an interview, supplication, a falling in with, meeting with, to visit, a petition. To intercede in prayer is to ask God to help understand the need or the situation of the person you are praying for. To get in there for someone else, as someone may say. That's what Jesus did for us. Okay, and you think about passages like Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Sometimes we don't know how to pray, do we? We don't know what to pray for. We don't know how to say it. Maybe there's a situation going on and we don't know how to do it. We don't know what it is. We just know who we need to go to. We need to go, we know who we need to be praying to and who can help us. And we've got to have faith that God's going to know what we need. He's going to know what we're going to Him for. And so that takes faith, brethren. We must have faith in God and in Jesus. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, beginning. Paul says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. That kind of covers everything what we were talking about, right? What we've been talking about this whole time. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 1. He says, be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. Beautiful passage, isn't it? Maybe if there was to be an imbalance in the time spent in the four areas of prayer that we've kind of talked about and really in what's kind of hit in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 1, it might have to be that the one imbalance would be that of intercession. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 1 through 4, turn there with me, Acts chapter 6. It's an interesting passage. And we don't usually come here when we're talking about prayer, I don't think. And so I didn't really think about it until I was going through and studying this. But a lot of times the first four verses there. It says, now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. So the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, it is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Therefore, brethren, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. Now I want to ask you a question. Why did the apostles require a great amount of time to pray? To prayer. Now see, we use that passage and then we say, well, you know what? They were focusing on the Word of God. And then it does say that, but it also says they were focusing on prayer and the Word of God. They needed help. They couldn't be worried about all of these other things when other people could take care of those. They need to be focusing on prayer and the ministry of the Word. If a faithful man regularly goes to God in prayer. Now I want you to think about this. If a faithful man regularly goes to God in prayer, does he then need others to pray for him? If a faithful man prays, if these disciples were devoting themselves to prayer, do they need others to pray for them? See, that's what I want to answer tonight. Is that yes or no? How would you answer that question? To say, well, yeah, I think so, maybe. I don't know. He's faithful. He's praying to God. God's listening to him. Does he need other people to pray for him? Intercession. Point number one, do we need God's help? Someone says, well, that's an easy one, right? All right, go to point number two. All right. Do we need God's help? Well, yes, of course we need God's help. But I want you to think about something when we're trying to answer the question, if a faithful man prays to God, does he need other people to pray for it? Okay? So, do we need God's help? Well, obviously the answer is yes, of course we do. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about Paul is speaking, okay, and he's talking about being an apostle. And God made him an apostle. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. The signs of a true apostle were performed among you with all perseverance by signs and wonders and miracles. Now, God gave the apostles power. Okay, let's think about the Apostle Paul, and he's writing this, and the reason we're going to use him as an example, because he wrote most of the books of the New Testament. Okay, and we have a lot of writing about him, and he does a lot of writing, so let's see what he says about this. Now I want you to think about this. There were great power and gifts that God bestowed upon an apostle. Okay? He had great power. He had great gifts. God gave those things to him. Did Paul need the prayers of other people? If God gave him all the power and he gave him all this great thing, then he should be okay then, right? Well, let's look at some passages. Okay? We're going to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're just going to kind of go through, okay, the New Testament and some of Paul's writings. And look at it, but we're going to begin in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8. Listen to Paul. For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death, and will deliver us, he on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. You also joining in helping us through your prayers, so that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of many. God gave Paul great power. He gave all the apostles great power, and they could perform miracles and do all these things. And Paul says, I was delivered because of your prayers. He says, I owe a lot of people great things because of their prayers for me. Look over, let's turn over a few pages. The book of Philippians, chapter 1. Philippians, chapter 1. In verse 19. The end of verse 18 says, yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that I will not be put to shame in anything, but with all boldness, Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. He said, I know this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers. Paul anticipated that the future prayers of other Christians would deliver him at a later time. Let's turn over a few more pages to the book of Colossians, chapter 4. Colossians, chapter 4, in verse 2, beginning. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the Word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, by for which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Paul needed the prayers of other Christians to open a door for him to teach others. Think about these things. We're not finished. Flip over a few more pages to the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. If there was a verse, you know, when I was a child, we used to have to memorize certain verses, and this would have been a verse that I'd have wanted to memorize. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 25. Brethren, pray for us. That's it. Okay? Brethren, pray for us. He saw the importance of this, okay? Brethren, pray for us. A broad appeal. So I ask you a question. Did he really need this? Did he really need it? He was an apostle. God gave him all these wonderful gifts and power. The answer is yes, he needed it. He realized he needed the prayer of the saints. Look at another passage, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you, and that we will be rescued from perverse and evil men, for not all have faith. Boy, that last verse right there gets you. It ought to get us. For not all have faith. You pray. You pray for other saints. You pray that God will help us. Deliver us from evil men. For not all have faith. And one more passage. Turn to the book of Hebrews. Now, we don't know for sure that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. Okay, but most people believe that, and we don't know for sure. But either way, it's a good passage. Hebrews 13, verses 18 and 19. Here the writer says, pray for us, for we are sure that we have a good conscience, desiring to conduct ourselves honorably in all things. And I urge you all the more to do this, so that I may be restored to you the sooner. You know what he's praying for? He's praying, or he's asking them to pray for him, that they can come together sooner. That they can be reunited sooner. So I want to tell you something, brethren. If an apostle needed Christians to pray for him, imagine the power within our grasp to mightily do good for the Lord's cause if we pray for one another. We pray for one another. It makes sense to ask God for help, doesn't it? When we need it. We have an overwhelming and uncertain work before us. It makes sense that we ask God to help us in this. We looked at Matthew chapter 7 last week. In verse 7 it says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who his son asks for a loaf will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him?" Remember, we talked about the fact that this passage here is talking about spiritual things, right? And we just said, this is not a carte blanche thing that we can just go through and say, "All right, I asked for it, I can ask for anything, and God's going to give it to me." That's not what he's saying. But he's saying, you ask in the will of God, as we talked about, according to his will. You ask for the furtherance of the kingdom and all these things, God's going to help us. We pray for one another in this. But brethren, because some have lost their faith, they do not pray. They do not pray. You know, I'm reminded in the Old Testament of King Saul. King Saul started out to be a great man, didn't he? He looked like a king. He was big and he was strong and he was a good leader. And at first he was a good king. But you know what happened to him? He left the Lord. You know, you can say all kinds of stuff about it, but you know what happened? He lost his relationship with the Lord. He wasn't praying to God anymore. He was looking at, you know what happened when he lost his relationship with God? He started fearing the people. He started fearing everything that was going to happen. And brethren, when we stop praying, when we stop our contact with God, and when we stop studying, and when we stop praying to God, we're going to get scared. We've got to hold on to God with everything that we have. That's all we have. And it's all we need. But we've got to hold on to it. Do you think of others regularly in your prayer? Do others need your prayers? And the answer to that is yes. I need your prayers. Okay, so if you don't think anybody else needs them, I'm telling you right now, I need your prayers. I need them every day. Paul needed prayers, and we need prayers. Intercession in the life of Paul. Now, we've already read most of these passages. We're not going to turn to them again, but I'm going to go through some of these. We did not look at Romans chapter 1 and verse 9, but Paul prayed for the churches as well. Okay? Romans 1 and verse 9, it says he prayed for the Romans without ceasing. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4, he prayed for the Corinthians always. Philippians chapter 1 verses 3 and 4, he prayed for the Philippians always in every prayer. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 3, and in verse 9, he prayed for the Colossians always, and later affirmed that those with Paul do not cease to pray for you. Those that were traveling with Paul were praying for the Colossians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 2, he prayed for the Thessalonians always. Brethren, these were not just generic prayers, meaning that Lord bless all Christians. Okay, I've lost one right there. Lord bless all the Christians. He said, I pray for you in Rome. I'm praying for you in Philippi and in Corinth and Colossians. He made mention of them in his prayers. I just wonder what other churches did Paul pray for by name that are not mentioned in the Bible. Here's a question for us, brethren. Have you ever prayed for other churches and other locations? We praying for the churches in Cookeville right now? Praying for the churches in Nashville? How about the churches in other countries? You know, Brother Bob Buchanan goes all over the world preaching and teaching. He sends us reports. We help support him. You pray for them? You pray for those brethren? What about individuals that Paul prayed for? In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul prayed for Timothy. It says there, without ceasing. He's praying for Timothy. Young Timothy. He's a young evangelist. He needs help. Paul knows that he's asking God to help him. The book of Philemon. Verse 4, Paul prayed for Philemon. It says, always. I wonder how much time Paul needed for intercession on behalf of others. Do we pray for individuals? It's easy sometimes for us, we're in a hurry. Okay, please help the church family. You know, pray for the church family. And then I kind of go on. Brethren, we need to pray for individuals. But I can't remember everybody. Okay, I got an idea for us. Grab the directory. Okay, pull it out and just start at the beginning and then start looking and going through and pray for them. Or write it down. Make a prayer list. Whatever you want to do. But do something to remember to help you. Everyone in here is going through something. Some are going through more than others. Everyone in here needs prayers. Everyone in here needs help. The sick. What about our shut-in? You know, brethren, we take for granted the ability to come to worship. But if you live long enough, and your health fades, as most everyone's health fades as the older they get, you may get to a point where you're not able to get out. And you're gonna cherish, you're gonna look back and think, boy, sure missed all those times. And I came to worship and didn't think anything about it. If you don't believe me, you go ask any of the shut-in if they'd like to come back to services. We need to be grateful and thankful for the opportunity we have to worship. And brethren, we need to realize we all need help. And we need to pray for one another and help each other. Paul, an apostle who had all the things given to him by God, he saw the need of the prayers praying for him. And then he in turn praying for them. What can our intercessions do? Well, I'm going to say in areas like this that the fruit is not easily seen. It may be seen every once in a while. But brethren, it may have been that our prayer made the difference in someone's life, and we may not ever know in this life. May not ever know. But someone may have turned to the Lord. Someone may have changed because God answered our prayer. And we never knew. But see, God wants us to do this on the basis of His Word alone. Brethren, I'm going to ask you again, do you have faith in God? Faith in God is not that I do something and then I automatically see the results. If I can always see the results, it's not faith. Right? If I automatically know that if I do A and B, I'm going to get C every time. Right? If I get A and B and C, boom, I've got it. If I do that, then I'm not living by faith. Whether God's going to answer the prayer or not, His Word says that He's going to do it. His Word says, and so we need to live by it. We need to follow it every day. Our job is to do the next right thing. The next right thing. God's way works. How much time out of your schedule will you take for prayer? Do you believe it'll do good? Jesus believed it would do good. Paul believed it would do good. I tell you what, if those two guys believe it'll do good, I think it'll do good. What do you think? Think we need to believe them, don't you? Think we need to believe in God. God's Word says it. Brethren, it will help us get out of ourselves if we'll spend more time in prayer. What are the greatest needs in the Lord's church today? Well, someone says, well, you know, one of the things that we looked at in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, what was Paul asking for? He was talking about greater evangelism, right? That the Word of God may spread out, that I may speak boldly your Word. And he's asking for the prayers of them to do that. So guess what? We ought to be praying the same thing. Not everyone in the world saved, are they? In fact, most people are lost. So we ought to be praying then for help in that area. Colossians chapter 1, 9 through 11, he's praying for greater knowledge, that God will help us in that. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9, more love for one another. Brother, can we not get closer to one another? Can we not help each other more? Do things for one another? Let's pray for that. And let's do something about that. How about this? A wise leadership that has come from strong, faithful Christians. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 10. That's something to pray for. Brethren, our elders, our leadership, listen to me, okay? And I'm talking to myself too. So don't try to say, oh, he's picking on me, he's doing this and that. They have a great responsibility. They have a lot of tough choices they're working through, trying to make in a lot of different areas. The worst thing that we can do is second guess everything that they do. And always talk about, well, here we go again, right? Do this and that, you know, we all roll our eyes or something, this and that. Instead, we need to be praying for them. They are looking out for our souls. They're trying to make the best decisions for this congregation. We need to be praying for them. We need to be praying for one another in our homes. That our homes will be stronger the way God wants them to be. Are we seeing the Christian life as we should? Are we seeing the Christian life as we should? When you combine a belief in a living God with an unselfish service to others, you find men and women who intercede on behalf of others. Are you one of those? Are you one of those? We may never know the great work the Lord has accomplished through us until the day we see Him. But let's have faith in God. God's way is going to work. Let's have faith in God. Let's have faith in prayer. Let's use it. We began several weeks ago, and I showed you this, and I said, we'll come back to it, okay? Because it gives us just some practical things about prayer. Someone says, I want to pray more. I want to learn to pray. I want to do better about that. And believe me, brethren, I do too. I want to get better in my prayer life. I want to spend more time in that. You know the one thing you got to do? You got to set a time for that and do it. Okay? There's no secret pill. We've just got to pray. We've got to be faithful to it. Keep a prayer room. Find you a place. Do something. Get you a corner. Get you a closet. Get you a bathroom. Something you can get away and pray. Ask the Lord to teach you to pray. Increase your prayer time gradually over time. Begin with praise and thanksgiving to God. Remember our acrostic for pray? P is praise for who He is, for what He has done. R is repent of sins that I've committed. Repent of commands that I may have neglected. Ask for the needs of others. Ask for my needs. There's our intercession, right? Ask for the needs of others. Ask for those. Do these things. Yield. Then why in prayer is yield my will to God's will. My agenda to God's agenda for me. Brethren, that's what it's all about, isn't it? Our motive in prayer must be for the accomplishment of God's will rather than a self-centered one. We're about to sing the song, and this song will be used as an invitation song tonight. But the title of the song is simply, I Will Pray. Let's pray for one another. Let's pray for God to help us. Okay, we all need it. We all need one another. And let me tell you what, brethren. You are my family. I love you all. And I need your help. And I want to help you. And that's the way we all need to be with each other. Okay? We want to help each other go to heaven. That's why we're here. If you didn't want to go to heaven, you wouldn't be here tonight. And I surely wouldn't be standing up here tonight if I didn't want to go to heaven. If we can help in any way in turning to God and being obedient to Him, we urge and beg you to come while we stand and sing.